Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is One Heat Minute.
Drop of a hat, these guys were rock and roll.
What's your name?
Wayne Grove.
Look like gangbangers working the local 7-Eleven to you. Robbery, homicides, take me out.
Give me all you got! Give me all you got!
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best, trying to stop guys like me.
A podcast dedicated to all 170 minutes of Michael Mann's LA crime opus Heat, 1 minute at a time.
Welcome back to One Heat Minute. My name is Blake Howard, and joining me once again is Stu Coot from Geek of Oz, podcaster, Sydney film buff.
Man about town.
Often man about town. And we are here back for the second minute of Michael Mann's 1995 film Heat. The opening minute, Stu joined us, but I couldn't just tease him. I couldn't just wet his whistle with simply the emergence of a train and the beautiful Elliot Goldenthal score, which we discussed.
Well, in fairness to me, the first 45 seconds is a black screen, so I got this became the Heat 15-second minute podcast.
Well, I'm going to let you spot what Heat is coming around the corner. Guys, here is the second minute of Michael Mann's Heat. Can I just say, what a freaking cast is in this movie. Oh. it just goes, look, and this is 1995 Tom Sizemore, folks, right? He did have Saving Private Ryan coming up in his resume. This wasn't, you know, whatever it is, celebrity rehab Tom Sizemore.
Yeah, this is before we can confirm or deny that people were taking daily urine samples of Tom Sizemore on the set of Saving Private Ryan.
Exactly.
Based on for his contract, but...
Wes Studi, oh my god, Dennis Haysbert, Ashley Judd, Amy Brenneman, just thick cast. McKelty Williamson, oh my god, what is his name? I might have to quickly go back as we're as in sort of slow mo as we're looking at this. But you've got I want to say Buffalo Bill. Ted Levine, ladies and gentlemen. Ted Levine. How do you get a guy like Ted Levine into your film
And not a very Ted Levine performance. Like, it's a strange performance from him as well. Like
it's a great performance. Yeah. Ted Levine is one of the most outstanding character actors I think I've ever seen work in film.
And a chameleon for a guy who has his look. You wouldn't actually pick... Like, he looks... very different to how he does as Buffalo Bill in this.
Extremely different.
It's the long hair, the beard, just does something a lot, changes his face completely.
Yes, and he's... Yeah. So right now, just to recap, if the Goldenthal score and the train moving in doesn't work, we literally come up into the train station, this quite futuristic, strange, bulbous train
station. That's the thing
station.
That hits me. We get our first... On the actual train itself, it says that it's Los Angeles.
Yes.
On the, like, to where it's headed.
Yes.
So that gives us our first clue that we actually are in LA, apart from... Because, as we said in the first minute, there was nothing really there to signify you're in LA. There's not the Hollywood Hills or whatnot. But yeah, the train station. And again, it's like... because it's got that, that like semicircle with the blue light.
Yeah.
Again, it's like sort of man's eye. You go, you probably look at a train station a million times and not see it as anything special, but in the right light, you go, oh, it takes on a completely different meaning.
It's like a blue mushroom.
Yeah.
It's like growing there at night.
Yeah, but it, like if you saw it in the day, it was probably just some gaudy steel structure. And yes. You go, oh, who? Why would we ever have this here? But he manages to find something quite pretty in it in the wee hours of the morning. Because what time do we think it is? Like it's what, 3 a.m.?
I think it's about 3 a.m. I think this, the way that I'm thinking of it is it's the first train of the morning.
Yeah.
And I love in like a secret extended man universe that maybe this is the same train with slightly less panic that Tom Cruise is already dead on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Love that potential in a sort of interconnected man universe and out of time.
That ties, if you think of like the start of Collateral, Collateral starts with just Tom Cruise walking through the airport. Similar to how we see De Niro here, yes. Gets off the train, walking down. Different, it's telling when you look at Cruise v. De Niro as performers. The shot of Cruise is more of a rock star walking through going, I'm coming into the man world to play.
Yes.
And I'm going to go on to be this sort of rock star performer. Whereas De Niro, it's a tighter shot in on his face. Probably, maybe he wants to, more unassuming.
He wants to escape notice. Neil McCauley is a character.
He's
a ghost. He walks out of that train station. He's extremely observant. Even in the quick seconds that you see, he's taking a measure of his surroundings immediately. He walks out of the train. He measures up.
He's copping exits. Yeah. He's looking for tails.
Two glances. He's copped the exits. He's checking for tails. Yes. He's looking for outliers of behavior in just a second.
He's sat at the front of the train, but the exit he wants is at the end of the platform. Yeah. So he's walking. He's looking. He's checking the side angles.
Yeah. He's done. And I get the sense that he's done this trip before.
Several times. So probably at all times of the day.
Yes.
Like, possibly even at this time of the day.
Yeah. I feel like he's done this before this trip.
He studied the timetables. He would have been sitting there going through with the highlighter and the pen and going, which one is which way? He's probably come from different platforms to get there, different stations.
Yeah. So he's done this before. And you just see this absolutely... I mean, we're going to just sort of briefly let this play out on mute so we can watch it again. As you said, the Los Angeles is the Ashley Judd. This is kind of peak Judd as well. McKelty Williamson has done a bunch of fantastic man performances, particularly as Don King. He's done Don King a few times. Wes Studi, straight off the back of Last of the Mohicans, an outstanding performance. Ted Levine, as we said, this is post.
But even if we take it there, we only have one train. This is, he's a lone wolf.
Yes.
He's a one man by himself, one train. He's got his own direction that he's going. There's nothing coming back the other way. Because, in my eyes, the other side of the train, the platform going the other way, that's the police side.
Yeah.
They're asleep.
Yeah.
Nothing's happened.
No.
They're not out of the station yet.
No. Nope.
Because the crooks have started first.
We're already started working.
So they've gone in on their angle. Yeah. When the police wake up, they'll be on a train that come back out the other way. That's how this is early symbolism from me. It's the two teams.
You said in the first episode that this is room 237.
Like, I don't know if he had anything to do with faking the moon landing, but I'm pretty sure if you look at that dome, that looks a lot like
it's moony. Yeah.
But I like that is a beautiful shot. Just the symmetry of that shot is gorgeous.
And in the darkness, this big blue emerging sort of, and it even looks like a crane. This metallic structure, blue, and it's that soft, and that's just characteristically man. You see that color. He's drawn to that. I don't know whether it's that sublime lure or something like that, but he's got that there. And again, another cast member just at this shot. This is a minute and 42 seconds. Is William Fichtner? Mm. Isn't he a powerhouse? Later on, kind of reprises a similar role in Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight.
Well, and that's what the rewatching Heat. There has to be an influence on that.
Has to.
But we also start. This feels like it's interesting. Dark Knight starts with the preparatory steps for the heist.
Yes.
We get to there probably about 4 seconds before the heist kicks off.
Yes.
This feels like, Heat feels like it starts maybe...
Hours before.
But as a magician, we're not even seeing the preparatory steps before this. No. Like, this is the kicking off of the heist.
Yes.
So we haven't even got to where the planning phase is. The planning phase.
They've had
that's been done already.
Already done.
So, but it's just an interesting way that I find, because I liken Nolan to a lot of blues, blacks, and steel colours, like throughout his filmography. Yeah. And same for Mann. Mann plays, like, in this scene, again, it's the steel, the blacks, the blues that he's doing. They're very masculine colours there. But there's a coldness to his characters
at their heart. Very cold. And then, so we'll hit play again. William Fichtner's name comes up. We're at about a minute 45, 46. Natalie Portman. This is post-Leon. Post-Leon Natalie Portman. Yeah. She just comes straight out of her bursting onto the scene. And she comes in. Diane Venora's name has already been up.
Or as I call her in this, Natalie, can't you tell I'm really acting Portman?
We might get to that. Here we go. We see De Niro's face, and then I love that there's sort of a perfect, there's one perfect shot here. There's one perfect focus, but even in the seconds all the way to the second minute, he's out of focus. He does not want to be seen. So for a second, just to establish that this is a character that we are about to start following, you get this, you know, this perfection of, oh crap, Bobby De Niro.
Yeah.
And then no, that's not Bobby De Niro. There's no Bobby De Niro in his face. That's Neil McCauley for me.
Yeah.
Every time I've watched this, I'm like, of course it's Robert De Niro. There's an inescapable legacy that comes with the gravitas that he can bring to a role. But in this moment, that's Neil McCauley. It's the hard lines of Neil McCauley's face, that goatee, that business goatee that I want to be blending in from second 120, basically, in this movie. He's establishing a very sort of chameleon man.
It's an interesting look. He's a man that you don't approach. You let him do his business. And if he came to you and tried to get past the door that you're guarding, you'd probably let him in. Because he doesn't
look overtly threatening.
No, but he doesn't.
Very clean.
Yeah.
Very clean.
And again, it goes back, I think, throughout this, is the discipline of him. He's got it right there from the get, the way he presents himself.
And so, we're right here. We've been introduced to the man. And it's like, from this very second, it's like, this is a weird movie already. It's already weird. Why am I being introduced to Bobby De Niro just like any other train passenger?
And why isn't the film starting? Why aren't we coming out of the credits and he's getting off the train?
Yeah.
Why have you... Because it's part of the sort of... It's part of the magic trick. Yeah. I've made you look at a train. Why? Why am I looking at this? I'm watching this train pull in. And while that's happening, it's a distraction from the fact of who's on the train. He could have easily have set this film like Collateral starts.
Yeah.
With just Cruise coming through. Yeah. I know Tom Cruise. We know De Niro. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's De Niro. But he doesn't. He just... It's going to just wait... Let it kick in. Let the score kick in. It's, let him just, like you say, blend into with the other passengers. It's a hell of a second minute. As a follow-up to the first minute, the sequel is almost,
it's out of control.
You couldn't write a better,
no.
Like, because he even got the train right. He was able to recast the train from the first minute, seamless, and it just went straight in. It was like they're on tracks. It was phenomenal.
Wow, and you wonder how he got the train at the same time as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, how he linked it up.
It's a masterclass.
This is bulletproof for honest trailers.
There's no way those two trains happen.
And a massive surprise. The twist ending. This is like Empire Strikes Back. De Niro gets out of the train.
Oh, what a shock. But you're right. The look of him is phenomenal through this.
And it's like, it's the most... perfect thing, because it is descript man. Like, how would you describe him? Well, he's probably 5'9", brown hair.
Yeah.
Goatee. What else?
Thanks, man. Yeah. Oh, maybe possibly Italian-American, maybe South American. I didn't get a good look at him.
Yeah, I didn't get a good look at him.
Did any tattoos? No. What was he wearing? Oh, he's...
Something grey.
Yeah, he could have grey, maybe green. Was he a mechanic? I don't know. Was he an ambulance? I don't know what he... But what time was this? Oh, it was 4:15 in the morning. It was the first train of the morning. I just woke up. Did he do anything to you? No, he just walked past. Well... thanks. We're in the middle of LA. Where do I start looking?
I love that.
Needle in the haystack.
Exactly. The perfect needle in the haystack. And now, you got to come back for more.
I'm, I'm, Can I just sit here and watch the whole movie? Can we just do a regular Heat podcast? Right?
You can be back. You will most certainly be back.
I'd love to.
You're most certainly going to be back. But we are now, we're at the end of the second minute. We're right in. And even, I think, for me, what has excited me about this podcast and what's excited me continually about Heat and what revisiting it is that even in 2 minutes, there is so much that's done in this movie. There's so much that, and my wife, bless her, who refuses to ever be on this podcast, is sick of how many times I can pick up a detail in this and be fascinated just with something, exactly what you said there. The, why the hell am I even watching a train emerge in Los Angeles? Yeah. Particularly, it's even more that this is an LA crime story and pretty much was billed as an LA crime story. Why do I even care? And then here comes De Niro and he just looks like... It's not a Bobby De Niro, like his hair's slicked back to perfection as we've seen in Goodfellas, Casino, like this. That it's kind of a bit more of a relaxed look. It's a very clinically cut goatee, but it's such a needle in a haystack thing. And just that, even that, 2 minutes. And you're already fascinated with the tradecraft of man bringing this character to life and De Niro, you know, embodying him in the script. Fantastic already.
Does his character from Deer Hunter grow up into this? Really?
Well, you know, like, we talked about Chris Nolan, and I thought I'm only bringing it up because I think that Chris Nolan, because of Chris Nolan's bleakness, I think that Insomnia is Chris Nolan's sequel to Heat.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah. Just going, this is what happens when someone loses...
When you're beyond burnt out.
And he's lost his most formidable foes. Yeah. He's not going to end well.
Yeah.
That's Chris Nolan going, that's like a prize fighter going to the end, and he's going to get... Guess what happens to prize fighters? They don't ride the glorious chariot out of the stadium. Nah. They go out on their back.
Yeah, as a punchy out of shape.
Went on for too long.
Now, before we wrap this up, there's one thing I say... Because I've done the deep dive. This is what happens. In the opening minutes of The Dark Knight,
yes,
when the Joker is waiting on the corner,
yes,
straight down the street at about midway up the screen, do you know what's there?
What's there?
A train. And I think it's a homage back to that. That's
the elevated rail in Chicago.
I am seeing, yeah, it's... yeah. But that, what he, even though he said it in Chicago, what he's really saying is... there's a little wink to Michael Mann. There's a little... like, it's his little... signature.
This ain't a wink. This is a big... wet, sloppy kiss.
I've never heard Nolan come out and refute that. But no. He just knows, deep down... As an artist, he just paints a little bit of heat there in the corner.
I'm not going to say anything about the grey overalls.
Exactly. Nothing. But it's all coming to... worlds are coming together. Minute by minute.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to Minute 2, Episode 2 of One Heat Minute with my special guest, Stu Q. He'll be back on Minute 3.
Thank you for listening to One Heat Minute. One Heat Minute is produced by me, Blake Howard. Special thanks to our guest this episode, Stu Coot, who is at Stu_watches on Twitter, or you can find him on geekofoz.com. Special thanks to Paul Davies for creating our music theme and Garth Franklin for website design for our website, oneheatminute.com.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.